So once again, good morning to Friendship. Glad you guys are here. Glad you guys get to join us for Mother's Day. I just got to say something real quick. This is a little off script, but that's bright. Like in the spotlight, I feel like I should dance or something. But anyway, all I got to say is like that $100,000 for a youth pastor. Wow, I like to find that job. That's all I got to say. So. But today we are celebrating Mother's Day, and we're going to talk about mothers here in a second. And but also, too, is realized if you're not a mother, you can still be a motherly influence on people. We see that all the time at the teen center, and you probably see that all the time in different parts of your lives, where you can guide a child or direct a child or be, you know, your child's best friend or something. Like you could help them out, you know. But I am not ignorant to the fact that today is hard for some people. And this could be because of a variety of reasons. It could be, you know, you have a poor relationship with your kids or with your mom. It could be, you know, lost a parent. You know, just it's all sorts of reasons. But I just want to assure you that neither I or church or take those situations lightly. We realize that it has an impact on you. We realize that sometimes it can be tough. But we know that Christ is there for you. And also I know that if you truly need prayer about it, the elders are here. And also Don and Sandra would be more than happy to pray with you through that situation of dealing with mom or dealing with how you deal with Mother's Day. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, that we get to be here in your house together as a family, and we get to celebrate moms, and we get to celebrate you. And I pray, Lord, that my words be your words, and it won't be my show, it'll be your show. And I thank you for today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, on a little lighter note, got a few things from the internet here. It says, little Billy's mom was rubbing moisturizer and cream on her face as Billy walked in. Mommy, what are you doing? He asked. I'm putting cold cream on my face, she replied. Why, Mommy? Billy asked. To make my skin look beautiful, she said. When she started wiping the cold cream off her face with a Kleenex, Billy said, gosh, Mom, you're giving up already? Mother to daughter advice. Cook a man to fish, and you'll feed him for a day. But teach a man to fish, and you'll get rid of him for the whole weekend. A police recruit was asked during the exam, what would you do if you had to arrest your own mother? He answered, call for backup. I got something else I found online, but we'll get to that later in the sermon. But when I signed up to speak today, I realized it was Mother's Day, and I was like, man, who else is the perfect person to speak on Mother's Day besides me, a guy? I don't know. But no, I signed up. It's always fun to be up here. It's always fun to talk about different topics. And after praying, after talking with God, after discussing with him and looking through things, I'm going to look at how moms and God goes hand in hand and how it affects all of us in this building, community, and around the world. And I want to put something out there. I'm not saying moms or God or Jesus and God are female. So don't get me wrong on that. So I haven't lost my brain. I'm just wanting to show that some attributes that moms have, God also has, especially if they're living the Christian life. So the first one, for example, is that I remember when I was a kid, and back in the day, I lived in a small town. You could ride your bike anywhere. You didn't have a fear of anything. And so I'd ride around with my buddy Todd Rainwater, and we'd ride around bikes, explore everywhere, do whatever. And we would come back to my house, and actually my trailer, because I lived in a trailer, not a house. But anyway, we go back. We were hungry. We were just thirsty because all the bike riding. And my mom would make us grilled cheese. She'd make us grilled cheese. And she'd make us sweet tea. And really sweet tea, like cups and cups of sugar. But she'd make us a lot of sandwiches. Like we'd eat and eat and eat and we'd be full. And then we'd eat again. And this happened all through a summer, right? We ate tons of sandwiches. Tons and drank tons of grilled cheese. No, drank sweet tea and ate grilled cheese. There we go. There we go. But here's the deal is that I could have ate thousands of grilled cheese and I'd still end up being hungry. Even though they were good, they were awesome, they were nourishing, they were, you know, the best, and I would still end up just starving. I would still end up wanting some food. Probably a lot of us in this room, a lot of moms could attest to that, like how their children at certain ages eat them out of house and home. As a mom, or all of us, we try to provide the best for our children, right? Or the children we know and we care for. We all do that. But this doesn't help with eternity. They will still be thirsty. They will still be hungry no matter what you give them. You could feed them Chick-fil-A. You could feed them a steak dinner, and they will still be hungry. But if we are thirsty and hungry for the Lord, then he will make sure we are satisfied. And we'll never go thirsty or hungry again. Just like my mom provided those sandwiches, Jesus can provide moms and all of us physical nourishment as well as spiritual nourishment. Jesus cares about the regular food we eat, what's on our plate, what we're having for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But also, he is concerned about our spiritual, what's going inside us, what we're reading from the Bible, what we're putting into us. Here's a famous example of regular food, but it's more than just one person. If you look at Mark 6, open to Mark 6, verse 30. It says, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. And Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said, this is because there are so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be all alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. But Jesus said, you feed them. With what, they asked. We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. How much bread do you have, he asked. Go and find out. They came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass so they can sit down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, looked up to heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. First of all, got leftovers. It's almost like a kid's story. They want to go out to a quiet place and like, oh, they get found. It's kind of like when you're a mom, you try to go off to a quiet place and your kids find you. But Jesus had compassion on the people. He saw these people. He began to teach them. And And he instructed the disciples to find food for him. And he was able to use this as a miracle, as a way to teach the disciples. This miracle was not only feeding the 5,000, but it was also showing the disciples who he was. And also that he cared for people's stomachs. He cared for their physical needs. Let's take a look at another encounter where Jesus tells us that with him, we will never be thirsty again. Let's go to John 4. We're going to look at two sections here. And this is about when Jesus is talking with the Samaritan woman on the well. It's pretty famous. It's where she comes down in the middle of the day, and Jesus is there, and they're having a conversation. And it starts off, in the middle of the conversation, it starts in verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks the water will soon become thirsty again." Sort of like when I drank the sweet tea, I eventually became thirsty again. "But those who drank the water, I will never give up to be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." Then we jump down to verse 31. This is where the disciples were away, and then they come back, and they see Jesus talking with this woman. It says, "Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But Jesus replied, 'I have a kind of food you know nothing about.'" And the disciples weren't grasping, weren't thinking here. They said, "Did someone bring you food while we were gone?" You know, yeah, Jesus got Grubhub. No, he got something while we were gone. Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me, from finishing his work." So two parts of the same story. One, he shows that he's a living water that will provide eternal life. And then it tells his disciples that he's the bread of life. He's the food. Such a powerful conversation between both groups of people. The woman and the disciples. And we could really break this down, really get this down, but that's for another sermon. But Jesus explained to the woman that if she drinks from him, she'll never go thirsty. But in order to get his point across, he had to have the hard conversation later on with her about her living conditions and where she lived at. And sometimes Jesus has to do that. And then Jesus also mentions in John 6 that he's the bread of life. So my question to you is, are you starving to not be starved? And what I mean by that is that are you starving after God so you won't starve? Are you starving after you're hungry? You want Jesus, you want the living water, you want the food, you want the what he has. Jesus explained to the woman that if she drinks from him, she'll never thirst again. But in order for my question to you, yeah, is that if I rely on my mom, I would always be hungry. Sometime I'd be hungry. But if we run after God, seek him, desire him, the living water, the bread of life, we will never be hungry again. So food, we got to get the spiritual food from Christ. Next is about healing. 1500 BC, Egyptians used honey to protect wounds. first century Romans used lead, silver, and spice ointments to protect injuries. 1920, the Band-Aid was invented. 1968, the Band-Aid reached the moon on Apollo 8. And since then, the Band-Aids had all sorts of different forms, fashions, ones with medicine, ones without. There's been tons of different upgrades. Probably as a mom, or probably as all of us, we've had a scrape, or we've had seen a scrape on a kid, or we've seen scrapes, and we've put Band-Aids, and we've helped out people. But we realize that the Band-Aid doesn't cure the situation. The Band-Aid doesn't cure the scrape. The Band-Aid doesn't cure, you know, if we put on a Band-Aid on a broken arm, the Band-Aid's not going to cure a broken arm. This world is broken and covered in sin. And that's why we have the medical stuff we have to go through. That's why we have the scratches and the hurts and the pain that we have. Just like a mom trying to put a Band-Aid on Johnny's knee after falling off a bike, Jesus is there to do so much more than a sticky piece of plastic. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to be with us. He wants us to be whole, and that's spiritual, that's physical, and he wants us to be healed, and he has healed. And he's fixed it permanently, not temporary, like a Band-Aid. Shoot, some Band-Aids barely last an hour. So let's look at John 9. Starting with verse 1. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God can be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. Night is coming, then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. Then he told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. And so the man went and washed and came back seeing. And let's jump over to Acts real quickly. Acts 10, 37 through 39. It says, do you know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism? And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging on a cross. So Jesus wants to heal. He's more powerful than a drug, than a Band-Aid, than going to a doctor. But the question is do we ask for that healing? Do we pray for that healing when we scrape our knees? You know, majority of us, we used to run to our moms for a Band-Aid, but do we run to Christ like that when we have an issue? Or when we have a physical issue? Or do we just try to limp along and get through it ourselves? But let me address something here real quick. Is Jesus is all-knowing, all-powerful. He created us. He created the earth. He knows everything about us. But as we know, there's sometimes where things happen and some people don't get healed. There's sometimes where things don't happen. I can think of one where we know through some friends, we know of a person in Sioux City that he just passed away and he had been fighting cancer. Great Christian man, great example of a Christian man, but he still passed away. I don't have the answers. I don't know why that happens, but I do know in certain situations like his that God can use those situations and those circumstances for his glory. know that can happen. So when situations like that happen and you pray and you pray and you pray and nothing happens, keep praying, but also realize it can be used for His glory. Look for that situation. Look for that lane to be used. Look on that lane and figure out where you could use it for His glory. So the other day, I walked into Gregory's room. He's going to love this. I'm talking about him. And I saw a sweater laying there in his room. And I was like, man, why is a sweater laying here? And I was like, why do you have the sweater? I don't understand. And he's like, Dad, it's got a stain on it. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But part of me, in the back of my brain, I'm thinking, like, stain's not going to get taken care of if you don't tell somebody. But the person we tell about stains is Roxanne. Roxanne's like she has like some, I would say magical powers, but I might get thrown out of the church if I say that. Some crazy powers about taking stains out. She has all these like little doodad sprays and all this stuff, like on top of our washer. There's like 50 bottles and all this stuff. And, you know, if you have a grass stain or this stain or that stain or whatever, you know, she'll get it out. She'll scrub it out. Seems like a miracle worker. But did you know that Jesus does the same thing? But He just doesn't do laundry. He doesn't have all those little spray bottles. He doesn't, you know, have a little tied stick or nothing like that. But He, like I alluded to before, He has His blood. Once again, Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are like red, like crimson, I will make them white as wool. See, Jesus, like I said, is not going to use a Tide stick or a lot of sprays to remove our stains. But let me back up for a second. What are stains? What am I talking about when I talk about stains? I'm not referring to when our kids or when we fall down and we get a grass stain. I'm not talking about when we're eating a big hot dog and ketchup falls right on our lap. You know, I'm not talking about grease we get on our hands or whatever. I'm talking about the wrongdoings, the things that separates us from our relationship with Christ. I'm talking about our disobedience, gossip, our pornography addictions, our cheating, you name it. That's what our sin is. It's sin. That's what our stains are. Nothing on this earth will cover our sins. Nothing. Some of us try to hide it. Some of us try to stop it. Some of us even try to justify them, what we're doing. But nothing can blot them out like the blood of Christ. His sacrifice on the cross and the blood He shed blots them out, gets rid of them, erases them completely as far as the east is from the west. In Psalm 51:7, Psalmist says, purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Now, the psalmist is not asking Christ to, you know, give him a bath or anything like that. He's asking, hey, I want to be purified. I want to be through your blood. In this cleaning, this blood doesn't count just for moms, because we're talking about moms a little bit today. It's for dads. It's for kids. It's for single people. It's for grandmas, grandpas. It's for anybody. Anybody can have the freedom you have in the blood of Christ. All you got to do is ask. And if you want to know more info, you can talk with an elder. So I want to read something. And I kind of alluded to it earlier. And I said there was something else I found on the internet. And I want to read it, and it says mom a lot, but I want you to kind of put yourself in the perspective, if you're not a mom, if this is for anybody, but some of it gears towards moms. says, mothers, if you are in Christ Jesus, you ought to have no fear of condemnation, because you're standing of righteousness because of Christ's work on your behalf on the cross. That's for everybody. Because it is righteousness on the cross, you're standing. Mothers, even though you may feel you are condemned by messy homes, you are condemned by your personal sins, you are condemned by your miscarriages, you are condemned by your lack of desire to have more kids, you're not condemned by your inability to cook, you're not condemned by your divorce, you're not condemned by your desire to be alone away from kids for a time, you are not condemned by your body, you're not condemned by your failures as a mother, you're not condemned by your rebellious children, you're not condemned by the frustration of having to scrape mac and cheese off the kitchen floor again. You're not condemned by all the fears and tears which flirt with insanity and take you to despair. You're not condemned by not being able to throw the party of the century for your kids. You're not condemned for not feeding your kids meals that could only be made after a trip to Whole Foods. You're not condemned by your need for a vacation. You're not condemned for not living up to the standards of your mother or mother-in-law. You're not condemned by the stares of those who have no kids when your kids erupt into volcanic screams in public places. Mothers and everybody else, though you may feel condemned, if you are in Christ, you're not condemned. Fight with this knowledge of what is real reality. You're not condemned. Because if you're in Christ, your identity, your righteousness is in Christ alone. And that goes with everybody. If you are a believer, if you're walking with Jesus, your identity is in Christ alone. So if you feel condemned by whatever it may be, maybe you don't have a good enough job, man, or you don't know how to fix a car, or maybe whatever, blah, 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 you're not condemned by that. Therefore, enjoy the love and affection and acceptance of being a daughter, perfectly loved with unwavering love that flows from your Father in heaven. You're not condemned because you are in Christ. That means your identity is His identity. Your righteousness is His righteousness. What a powerful reminder, ladies and everybody else. This is a reminder for us, gentlemen, that our identity is in Christ. We need to remember that Jesus is the bread of life, the living water, and He wants to make you whiter than snow, heal you from all sickness, and most importantly, that our identity is in Him. So remember, that was for anyone today. So we want to be not just moms, but moms, thank you very much for all you guys do. Let me close in prayer. And then after that, Paul has a small presentation. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, for your blood, for being a healer, just for being there for your for our identity being in you. I thank you, Lord, for everything. I thank you, Lord, for the moms, the non-moms, the everybody in this room, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for what they bring to this church, to this community, and to their families, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you just give them a good rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.